Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight was born in Detroit and grew up in Rochester, Michigan. She began working odd jobs at age 13 and earned a degree in education from Central Michigan University. She's worked in the public sector, in the non-for-profit sector, in the education field, in the business world, and has raised a family. She's the president and leader of 12,000 teammates at AT&T of Michigan. Her name, Gail Toriano. And I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to the president of AT&T Michigan, Gail Toriano. Gail, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
It's an honor to talk to you, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Certainly. I was the second daughter, born to parents who grew up in Michigan, stayed in Michigan, and met, you know, in their mid-20s. And by the time they had me, they were about 35. And I have a sister who's 8 years older. So it became apparent to me when I was about 8 years old that my mother was sick, and she was sick with something that most people didn't talk about at that time, Jack. She was an alcoholic. And it was, this was in the mid-60s, and alcoholism was, it really wasn't talked about, let alone a woman who was an alcoholic. And so us, our family, much like many other families, kind of hid it in the closet, you know. We pretended it wasn't there. My father was a man who was a small businessman, and he traveled a lot, and he did the best he could to kind of keep the family together. But in the meantime, there was this kind of the elephant in the room was this alcohol, was the alcoholism. And so we had, as far as, you know, a home and clothing, et cetera, we had pretty much everything we wanted in that regard. But we had the one thing we did not have the one thing that really was most important, and that was a healthy family.
How did you get over that?
You know, first of all, I don't know that you really get over it, and I'm not sure there's anything to really get over. You learn how to deal with it, and you learn from it. I happen to have some people in my life that were extremely important to me, and the older I get, Jack, the more important I realize they have been. And you lean on people. And, you know, God brings people into your life sometimes when you need them. And that's how it was with me.
What advice would you give to a listener whose spouse or parent is an alcoholic?
Well, I think I would tell them that you have to allow the person that you love, you know, whether it be your wife or your husband, or if it be your child or your brother or sister, that it's really important to allow an alcoholic to take responsibility for themselves. And that was a real hard lesson that I had to learn, and that my sister had to learn as well. And to explain that and how I got there, when during this many years before my mother became sober, she was in and out of hospitals, Brighton, just numerous hospitals. And after my parents were divorced, when I was I think I was about 11 or 12, my sister, who was 21 at the time, ended up having to commit her to Pontiac State Hospital. And these are during the days when alcoholics were put in the state hospital. Well, make a long story short, Mom actually was there two times. And but then later, you know, as I got to be in my 20s, Mom continued to drink. You know, she'd dry out for a while, then she'd drink again. And I remember my sister calling me and telling me that it was time that I got involved and that maybe we had to commit her again. So we went down to Lansing, which was the city that my mother was living in at that time, and sat down with a counselor. We were thinking at that time that we would go through the same process. Well, the laws changed, and no longer were you able to commit someone for alcoholism unless they were a danger to themselves or others. And we sat down with this counselor who explained to us that we were trying to save her and that we were trying to take care of her and that we had done that for years and years and years and that we really needed to let her go and we needed to let her have responsibility for herself. And that was a real hard, piece of advice for me to listen to because at the time my mom was threatening to commit suicide. And that was tough to think that, gee, if I don't do anything, what happens? What if she succeeds? And he explained to us, and I see it now, you know, many years later, how right he was, is that an alcoholic is, they don't have high self-esteem, right? They don't feel real good about themselves. And then oftentimes the family steps in and takes over and takes responsibility away from him or her. And gee, Jack, you know, if somebody takes responsibility away from you time and time again, you're going to continue to only feel worse, right?
Yes.
And so it's called the merry-go-round of alcoholism. And so we needed to get off that merry-go-round. And because we as a family were on the same merry-go-round, it impacts the entire family. So my advice would be stop, take a look at what you're doing. Are you doing anything that in any way takes responsibility away from him or her? And if you are, let your brother, let your sister be responsible for themselves. The only way they will get sober is if, in fact, they do that.
When we come back, we'll ask Gail Toriano what she learned from her dad. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Gail Toriano, who started working odd jobs at the age of 13. Gail, what did you learn from your dad?
Well, he taught me an awful lot. First of all, he taught me that I was loved, and which was a big deal, considering where, you know, the situation in my family. But he taught me to never give up. He taught me that I can do absolutely anything. He taught me faith. He taught me perseverance. He was just an incredible role model. He was a single dad. My parents ended up getting divorced, as I said, when I was about 11 or 12. And in 1963, that was a very odd and rare situation for a man to be given custody of their teenage daughter. And he taught me that family is everything. He did that in his actions. And everything he taught me, Jack, it was through his actions that he taught me. He would give me little lectures, but it was oftentimes just in his action. He taught me loyalty, and he taught me that by being loyal to my mother throughout his entire life. He stopped taking care of her. He got that. But he, when she stopped drinking, I don't know, 20 years after they were divorced, he, once she became sober, he sent her money every single month, sent her cash. He didn't have to. It wasn't part of the divorce decree. But he sent her money because he cared about her. When he died, he made sure that there was money left for her to make sure that, we could take care of her and any needs that she had. So he taught me that that loyalty is important. He taught me that family is everything, and that you always, always must be there for your family. He was, one of the things that he did, when my mom was in the state hospital, I was in junior high, and needless to say, as you can imagine, Jack, I didn't tell many people at all that my mother was in the state hospital. That wasn't something that, as a teenager, you wanted your friends to know. And so, despite that, my father made me every Wednesday and every Sunday go visit my mother on those days that I could. I didn't tell my friends where I was going, but every Wednesday afternoon and every Sunday afternoon, I would go to the state hospital to go visit her. And when she was in the other hospitals, it didn't matter whether or not, you know, they were married or not, every single week I was required to go see her. And even when she moved to Lansing and tried to get sober, he still required that I went to see her. She was my mother. She gave birth to me, and I was to honor her. And he that was a wonderful and beautiful thing that he taught me. So oftentimes you see people today, parents who are divorced, and they try to get the child to side with, you know, one parent. Not my dad. My mom was equally as important as he was, but he taught me that she was sick. And so that's one thing. He also taught me, you know, as I said, he taught me my faith. Dad took me to church every Sunday, and that was one of the many, many gifts that he gave me that, despite the fact that he died, I still have that. And whenever I wanted something, I had to work for it. So, thus, my odd jobs, Jack.
Yes.
That's why I had odd jobs. Sometimes I wouldn't have to pay for all of it, but he would always cut a deal with me. He'd say, okay, Gail, if you really want that, you earn half of it, and I'll match you. And so at a very young age, I started doing odd jobs, and he taught me that, you know, the value of things. He was quite a man.
You went on to earn a B.S. in education from Central Michigan, and then you went to work for John Engler when he was a state senator and eventually became his chief of staff. Can you tell us about that experience?
Oh, that was another learning experience. John Engler is, anyone who knows him knows what a bright man he is, and he's a true leader. And it gave me an opportunity, obviously, to work alongside him and pick up, learn some things from him. I have an interesting story. When I first went, or when he first approached me, Jack, to work for him, I was up in Traverse City, and I had known Jack, or I had known John for years. This was probably 1980. And he ran first for the state house in 1972 when I was in college. And he and I had kept in touch. I had at one time worked on Capitol Hill in Washington, and he would, when he was there, he'd drop by. But in 1980, he approached me, and he was in his, I think, second year of being a state senator. And so he was a freshman senator. And he drove up to Traverse City, and we went out for lunch, and he asked me to come in and run his office. And he said, I have three goals. If you come to work for me, we have three goals. He said, right now the Senate Republicans have only 14 seats. And He said, I want to put them in the majority, which means that we need to win six more seats. And he said, and I want, so that's my first goal. And he said, my second goal is to become the Republican leader in the Senate. And he said, and my third goal is to become governor. Now, this was in 1980. And he said, if you come and work for me, that's what we will work towards. Well, the rest is history. Obviously, he ended up, you know, achieving all of those. He first became the Republican leader before he became the majority leader. He became the Republican minority leader. Then he became the Republican majority leader. And then, of course, became governor of the state of Michigan. But he, you know, he had such vision. And he, of course, was tenacious. I mean, back in 1980, Jack, if he had told most people that he was going to run for governor and become governor, most people would have laughed at him. But he, along with my dad, taught me some things. And one of the things that he taught me was to be tenacious. And that wasn't hard to teach me. It was part of my nature, I think. But working with him, you could see, you know, his tenacious and he persevered. And that is, you know, parallel to basically one of, you know, my characteristics. So it fit pretty well. And it was an absolutely great experience. He was a perfect teacher in that he had a vision, he had a plan, and the other thing is, the next thing that's so critical is that he executed well on that plan. And I think that's critical. You can have a vision and you can have a plan, but if you don't execute well on the plan, you're not going to get there. But he was a good model and a good mentor for me to demonstrate how, in fact, that all comes together.
We're talking to Gail Toriano. And I'm Jack Crisul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Crisul, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Gail Toriano, and she joined Michigan Bell in 1991 in their Office of Governmental Affairs. Gail, Michigan today is going through a transformation. You watched Michigan Bell go through a transformation from a monopoly to a very competitive world. How do we successfully migrate through this transformation?
Well, I think it's going to take a lot of work, and I think the work that has to be done together. I think that we have to knock down a lot of barriers that we put between each other and walls that we put between each other, like, you know, political walls. And I think we have to work together, all of us, towards success and towards a new Michigan. It's going to be important that we persevere. I think that it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be easy. Just like it wasn't easy for AT&T during the 90s as we transformed from a monopoly environment to one that was, you know, there was just competition everywhere you turned. But there's got to be a vision. There's going to have to be a plan, and we're going to have to execute, just like I said before. And I believe that we as people in Michigan have what it takes. I mean, we have the skill set in this state is incredible. And so we need to take some time to take a look at, you know, what that skill set is, and I think people are doing that, and build upon that skill set. We've got what it takes, but we just need a different plan, and we need to execute on that plan. Leadership is, as you well know, is absolutely critical. And in times like this, leadership is more important than ever. And it's sometimes more difficult to be a leader in times like this, I believe.
We're talking to Gail Toriano. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
We're talking to Gail Toriano, the past chair of the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce. Gail, what advice would you give to a young lady who's just entering the working world?
I would tell her, to find mentors. I would tell her to listen to her mentors, ask questions, and not be afraid to fail. I love talking to young women who are just entering the workforce because I see so many opportunities. But I would tell her the most important thing that I would tell her is find mentors and find partners who you can share with, who you can bounce ideas off of, and who can give you some real honest feedback.
What's the culture of AT&T of Michigan?
The culture, I think, I don't know that I can find one word, Jack, to describe the culture, but I can find a few words probably. I would say commitment. The people who work for our company are committed people, and we're passionate about what we do, and we believe in our company. It's part of our culture. Oftentimes you'll find, if you come and talk to someone who is one of my colleagues, you'll find out that their dad worked for the company, or their mother worked for the company, or their grandfather. It's oftentimes a family kind of thing. It wasn't with me. I wasn't fortunate, but for many it is. And we are people who are, as I say, the salt of the earth. We are your next-door neighbors. We're the people you go to church with. Our kids go to church with your kids. And we aren't boastful. We just get the job done. We are committed. We're committed to our customers, and we want to serve well. We serve. We're, you know, a service industry, and we want to serve. You know, oftentimes it is the lineman, the installation or repair person who is out at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning in the very, very cold weather or wet weather, and they're out there. They don't even question why they had to get up early in the morning and in the cold just to make sure that everyone has dial tone. And so, you know, we are committed, and I'm very proud of that commitment, and I am so proud of the employees, my colleagues in Michigan and the other 22 states. They are the salt of the earth, and I get sappy about it because I am so proud to be there.
What's your most important role as president of AT&T of Michigan?
I think my most important role is obviously I'm the face of the company in Michigan. But I also think, from an internal standpoint, I have a role to help other people develop, help other people grow, and help other people reach their goals and their ability and capacity. And that's a role that I just love doing. I love being with my colleagues to watch them succeed. And I think that that's, as a leader, I think it's really important. And one of a very major role that we play is to help other people lead and teach other people to lead and mentor and people. So I, from my standpoint, that's really important.
What makes a great leader?
What makes a great leader? I think someone who can fail, number one. I think it's important that you are comfortable enough to fail, because none of us who have succeeded have gotten where we are without failing. And so it's important to understand that you can fail, and but have determination and have a tenacious spirit, that you can pick yourself up and figure out what can you learn from that experience. I also think, Jack, that it takes someone who's willing to take a risk. One cannot lead without taking a risk. It really does require sometimes not knowing where the next foot's going to step on, or where the next foot is, going to go, but being willing to take that risk. I think that it also requires optimism. I am, I'm a person who believes that my glass is half full, and it's never been empty, and it's never been half empty. But you've got to believe that you can make it. In order to lead others, you have to show them your vision, and so that they know where they're going. And passion. I'm a very passionate person, and sometimes I get a little carried away. But at the same time, I think leadership requires passion.
If I'm a young person, how do I get a good self-image, self-confidence?
I think, I guess I can speak for that. As I grew up in the home that I grew up in, I didn't have a good self-image. But I have acquired one, and I think I acquired one through my relationships with other people, and by listening to them. This is my experience, listening to them and getting feedback from them. And as I would try things and I would succeed or fail, but listening and getting advice from others, I would figure out how to do it differently. But it was, I think, really by trying is how I got here, by trying and succeeding and showing myself that, hey, I did all right. It takes trying, and sometimes you fail, but you learn. And so for me, it's the experience of trying that has helped me to build my self-esteem. Faith. If everything else fails, there's always your faith. And I get a lot of help that way. And when I'm really down, and there's nothing else, there's always, I can always turn to God, and I know that I'm going to be okay.
When we come back, we'll ask Gail Toriano what the word team means to her. I'm Jack Russell, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Gail Toriano, who was named Legend CEO in 2006 at Automation Alley's 6th Annual Gail Awards. Gail's the first woman to win the award. A living legend, Gail, a living legend. In your own mind.
Right, right.
What does the word team mean to you?
To me, team is everything. Team is success. Without team, I can't get anything done. I can't be successful. One of the characteristics of my leadership style is that I believe I am a team builder. And to me, a team, the reason teams are can be so successful is that I believe that not one of us has every skill set necessary to accomplish a huge task. I do have, you know, certain skills. You have certain skills. But when you put a whole team together, then you have all of the entire skill set that's necessary to succeed. And so my approach is not leader-centric. It's really team-centric. And to, you know, if I'm working toward on an initiative with my team, today it may be that I sit back and other people in my team lead and I follow. And tomorrow I may lead and they may follow. And the next day it may be you, Jack, that is our leader. But true success on an initiative requires a team. And it's important to know as a leader when an individual should be brought up to the front as the leader and which skills are necessary at a particular point in the venture. And I always say as I'm talking to my team that we're like a jigsaw puzzle and that individually you can't figure out what we are, and we don't really make up a picture. But as you put us together, and we are all in the appropriate slot together, there is just a beautiful picture that one can see. The other analogy I use is a basket. And if you take a basket and you take any one of the strips, off, it's not strong, but if you weave them together to make the basket, it is extremely strong. And baskets can carry water and they can, you know, hold lots of weight. A team is like that. And I love working as part of a team, and I love to see people develop as they're working in a team. And it's a great way to get, you know, your colleagues, your team members to develop, because it's a very safe kind of environment. There are lots of people there to hold you up and to cheer you on. And at the end of the initiative, when you win, there's nothing better than winning with a team.
How do you balance your role as mother to your two sons, as wife, and as president of a 12,000-person team?
Lots of help with lots of team members. At home, I am so blessed to be married to my husband, George, who has been just a great role model and a great team member. When I took this particular position, George was, he was teaching and had been teaching for 30 years. Our boys were in high school. Our oldest son, Matt, was a senior, and our youngest son, Joe, was a freshman in high school. And it became very apparent that it was getting a whole lot more difficult to juggle everything. And George suggested that he retire so that he could stay home with the boys and I could work and not worry so much about home. And I think that is the perfect example, really, to me, of teamwork. He sat back and he's been in the background, always making sure that everything is okay at home since I've had this position. And you know that beautiful song, "The Wind Beneath My Wings."
Yes,
he is truly the wind beneath my wings. I'm out there. I'm out in the public, and people see me. I'm talking to you, Jack, on the radio. And George is the one quietly making sure that everything's okay. So I couldn't be luckier and am so very fortunate. And at work, it's the same sort of thing. I have team members who are very dependable and they are equally as tenacious as I am and determined. And, you know, we you take turns in life. When you're on a team, you take turns. And kind of like, you know, the geese that fly, the one in the front is, is leading today and right now, but they always switch and take turns. And I think I do that at work, too. So I have a lot of support from the people I work with. I have support from my husband and my two sons. And I still have support from my sister, and I have a number of friends. And I have learned as I have gotten older that to lean on people, to ask for help, which I think is an important skill or an important thing for people to learn, is it's okay to ask for help. That's a good thing. And so that's how I do it. I do it by oftentimes leaning on other people, having them help me, and it makes it much easier in the long run.
You mentioned earlier your faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
You pray and you ask God for this. You pray and you ask that the state changes the rules on this, et cetera, et cetera. And God doesn't always give what we want. How have you learned to surrender to God?
Well, first of all, I never ask for specific things. I always ask for his help in making me stronger or making me kinder. I think that if you have a deep faith, you know that it's going to be taken care of. I mean, I'm sure, Jack, in your life, as you look back, he always takes care of you. Look what he did for me. I mean, and in my life, I look back and I had a mom who was so very sick. But you know what? If she hadn't been that sick, I wouldn't be as strong as I am today. And he really does take care of things.
What advice would you give our young listeners tonight, Gail?
Well, I would say, first of all, it's really important to figure out what you want and what you love. And because you shouldn't spend, if you're going to spend time the rest of your life doing something, do something you love. I would also say, find someone to love. And always have something to look forward to. And never be afraid to fail. Because when you fail, you're learning. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to learn and do whatever it is that you love to do that much better. That's what I would tell them.
30 seconds. Are you optimistic about Michigan's future?
I am optimistic about Michigan's future. I believe in us, and I love Michigan. I know what we have done in the past. I know what we're capable of. And I frankly think that we're going to end up being a better Michigan through these challenges than we are today.
Gail Torriano, thanks for coming. Thanks for sharing your amazing, inspiring story.
Thank you, Jack.
Our guest next Sunday will be the prison angel, Mother Antonia, a modern-day saint. Until then, I'm Jack Crisula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.
Believe in yourself. Believe you to look like